invite you to take your copy of the greatest book ever written, the Holy Bible, and open it to the greatest passage, I believe, not only in the Bible, but in all of literature, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I consider this passage to be the Mount Everest of Holy Scripture. It describes for us the humiliation and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite your attention as we give focus to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this about the Lord Jesus and our attitude toward Him. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A young husband and father was diagnosed by his physician with cancer of the tongue. Because they were late in this diagnosis, he was given no chance to live more than a few months unless his tongue would be removed surgically. But if they would surgically remove his tongue, his chances of recovery were considered to be 100%. And so the decision was made on a day that he would have surgery and have his tongue removed, and he would never speak again in this world. The day came for the surgery, and the family gathered there in his hospital room before he was to be rolled down to the surgery theater. And as he had final words with his family, the last thing he said was, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." I want you to think with me this morning about the name that's above every name, the name Jesus. I want you to see with me, first of all, that the Scripture teaches that the name Jesus is an exalted name. His name is an exalted name. His name is an exalted name because it was not chosen or given to Him by His mother Mary nor His stepfather Joseph. His name is an exalted name not because He was the ruler of some earthly empire, but His name is an exalted name because it was given to Him by God the Father. The angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, "You will give Him the name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." There is no name like the name of Jesus. It is an exalted name. Now, across human history, there are many great men and women who have names that we remember even thousands of years after they lived. And every great name we can recall from human history has an equally great name to match. From Bible times, there was the Apostle Peter, who was the apostle to the Jews, but equally great with Peter was the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. From ancient Greece, there is the name Plato, but equally great with Plato is the name Socrates. Alexander the Great ruled the known world at a young age, but there was a name to match his name in military conquests and Napoleon Bonaparte. William Shakespeare was one of the great writers of English literature, but equally great was the Baptist bard John Milton. We recognize the name John Wesley as a great 18th century evangelist who shook the British Isles with the gospel and was the founder of the modern Methodist movement. But equally great with John Wesley was his friend, George Whitefield, who preached not only in the British Isles, but came many times to the American colonies and was God's instrument to bring thousands into the kingdom of Christ. From the days of the Second World War, in the European theater, there was General Dwight Eisenhower. But equally great with General Eisenhower was General Douglas MacArthur, who led the Allied forces in the Pacific theater. Franklin Roosevelt was our statesman during the dark days of the Second World War, but on the other side of the Atlantic was the equally great Winston Churchill. In baseball, there was Babe Ruth, but his name is matched by that of Hank Aaron. From the days of the Protestant Reformation, there was the great Martin Luther, but equally great was John Calvin. From the world of music, there's Beethoven, but equally great is Bach. We could go on and on comparing one great person from another in ancient times. But when we speak the name Jesus, there's no one to match the name Jesus. There's no one to stand above Him, and even no one to stand beside Him. Jesus stands alone. August, unique, supreme. His name is an exalted name. The name Jesus is the name which is above every other name, and with Him no mortal can compare. Charles Lamb said, and I quote, "If all the illustrious men were gathered together, and Shakespeare should enter their shining company, they would all rise to honor Him. But if Jesus Christ should come, we should all kneel to worship Him." Napoleon Bonaparte was the Emperor of France who conquered much of the European continent a couple hundred years ago. This is what Napoleon said about Jesus. "I marvel that whereas the ambitious dreams of myself, Caesar, Alexander, should have vanished into thin air, a Judean peasant, Jesus, should be able to stretch his hands across the destinies of men and nations." He went on to say, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between Him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have found empires. But upon what do these creations of our genius depend? Upon force. Jesus Christ alone founded His empire upon love, and to this very day, millions would die for Him." May we echo that thought today. There are hundreds of us in this room who have called upon to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, would gladly do so because He is worthy of our allegiance and our adoration and our thanksgiving. Emerson refused to include Jesus among his listing of representative men, saying it takes too much strength of constitution to do that. He concluded about Jesus, "His name is not so much written but plowed into the history of the world." And so I want to suggest to you this morning that the name Jesus is an exalted name. It is a name which is above every other name. Secondly, I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus' name is a holy name. Jesus is God the Son, fully God, fully man. He is as much God as if He were not man, as much man as if He were not God. He is the God-man. There is no one like Him. And He is co-equal and co-eternal and co-powerful with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And His name in Holy Scripture is a holy name. Now, we read the name Jesus more often in the Gospels than anywhere else, but we read of Jesus in the entirety of the Word of God, beginning with Genesis all the way through to the book of the Revelation. Someone has said in the book of Genesis, Jesus is the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, He is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He is the high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He is the city of our refuge. In Joshua, He is the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In the book Book of Judges, Jesus is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, Jesus is the rebuilder of everything that is broken. In the book of Esther, he is Mordecai sitting faithfully at the gate. In Job, he is our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, Jesus is my shepherd and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In the Song of Songs, he is the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is my love that is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is our Savior. In Jonah, he is the great foreign missionary who takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he is the Lord mighty to save. And in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. In the Gospel of Matthew, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Mark, he is the miracle worker. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. In John, he is the door by which every one of us must enter. In the book of Acts, he is the shining light that appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. In Romans, he is our justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he is our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is our sin bearer. In Galatians, he redeems us from the law. In Ephesians, he is our unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he supplies our every need. In Colossians, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is our blessed hope. In Philemon, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he is the Lord that heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd. In 1, 2, and 3 John, he is Jesus, the tenderness of love. And in the Apocalypse, the book of the Revelation, he is Alpha and Omega. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worthy of our praise. His name is a holy name. His name is an exalted name. But third, his name is a comforting name. There's no name like the name Jesus to comfort those who have broken hearts. The ancient mystic Bernard of Clairvaux said, "The name of Jesus is honey to the mouth, music to the ear, and gladness to the heart." Lydia Baxter was bedridden almost the entirety of her life, but she always had a cheerful disposition because she had a deep faith in God and in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This bedridden invalid was asked about how she could have such a cheerful spirit. And she responded saying, "I have a very special armor. I have the name of Jesus. And when the tempter tries to make me blue or despondent, I mention the name of Jesus, and he can't get through to me anymore." Jesus is a comforting name. Lydia Baxter wrote one of the songs we sang earlier today, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will comfort and joy give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name. Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." The name Jesus is a comforting name. If you live any length of time, you find that you're going to experience great sorrow. Someone that you love dearly, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a dear friend, someone to whom you were very close, slips into eternity, and your heart is broken. And if you want comfort and peace, you can find it in the name Jesus. The name Jesus is a comforting name. The name Jesus is a holy name. The name Jesus is an exalted name. But number four, I want you to see with me that Jesus' name is a universal name in every way. He's not limited to one locale or one era of human history. He spans the ages of time, and he spans ethnic diversity and racial diversity and language diversity. His name is a universal name. To the geologist, he is the spiritual rock. To the baker, Jesus is the bread of life. To the attorney, Jesus is the righteous judge. To the astronomer, Jesus is the bright and morning star. To the horticulturist, Jesus is the true vine. To the philosopher, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. To the surgeon, Jesus is the great physician. To the historian, Jesus is the ancient of days. To the builder, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. To the statesman, Jesus is King of Kings. To the architect, Jesus is the capstone. To the electrician, Jesus is the light of the world. To the student, Jesus is the master teacher. But far more important, to the sinner, he's God's Son, our dear Savior. And what we desperately need is a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He's the Savior for all seasons. He's the Savior for all nations. He's the Savior of all who reside in Australia. He's the Savior of those who reside in Europe. He's the Savior of those in Africa. He's the Savior of those in South America and those of us in North America. He's the Savior of those who reside in the islands of the sea. He's the Savior of all who trust in Him. Red, yellow, black, white, all are precious in His sight. Rich, poor, literate, illiterate. With Jesus, there is no respecter of persons. And the Scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I look across this room, and there's a good deal of ethnic diversity in this room. I thank God for that. I want you to know Jesus is not an American Jesus. Jesus is a universal Jesus. He died for every tribe, every tongue, every people. And any man or woman, boy or girl, who will repent of his or her sins and put his or her trust in the finished atoning work of Jesus on Calvary's cross will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is a universal name. Number five, His name is a conquering name. Jesus always leads His people in triumph. He never leads us to defeat. Jesus never issues a call of retreat, nor does He ask us to surrender to Satan. But He has given us mighty weapons to walk in victory. The high-sounding titles of men, men give themselves or allow other people to give them, all sound empty against the all-conquering name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The historian Gibbons wrote of good Queen Anne that she was not good, and she was double-faced. She put a premium on her brother's head to have him killed. In ancient Greece, Alexander the Great, his armies conquered the known world before he was 33 years of age. He had no more worlds to conquer. He died of his own debauchery and vices at age 33. He conquered the nations of the earth, but he couldn't conquer his own passions. Not really great. Some centuries ago, there was a king in France by the name of Louis, who was known as Louis the Great. And if greatness is measured by mighty conquests and fear of enemies and admiration of subjects, then surely we could say that King Louis was Louis the Great. He had great power, but he also had great vices. And like all of us, because it's appointed a man once to die, like all of us, King Louis the Great died. And at his funeral at the great cathedral there, Mazel, the Bishop of Claremont, who was conducting the service, stood before that congregation gathered there, the body before them, as he stood before them, this body before whom Europe once trembled, began his funeral eulogy with these words, "God alone is great." Jesus is God. And Jesus' name is a great name. Jesus' name is a conquering name. I want you to see this in the text we read earlier this morning, both responsively and I read before the message. Look in verses 9 and 10 and 11. We read here that God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. In heaven, that means the angels recognize his name and worship him. And on earth, that's all of mankind, from the first man Adam to the last baby to be born. And then under the earth, the devil and all the demons. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The day will come when every knee will bow before King Jesus. Those of us who've been redeemed by his precious blood, those of us who've been transformed by his grace, those of us who love him because he first loved us and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, we long for that day when we will see him face to face and we can bow before him and give him our praise. But everyone will do that, either willingly and gladly or unwillingly, but they will do it. That's the clear testimony of Scripture. Everyone in this room someday will bow the knee before King Jesus. You say, "I'm an atheist, I don't even believe in God." You'll bow the knee before King Jesus. You say, "I'm a humanist, I'm not into that." You will bow the knee before King Jesus. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The apostles conquered in his name. They were brought before the Sanhedrin as to why this person was healed that they had prayed for. They said to that group of Jewish religious leaders, "It is by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." There is no other name like the name of Jesus. We sang this morning, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, crown him. Crown Jesus, Lord of all." Have you crowned Jesus the Lord of your life? I can hardly read this passage of Scripture without going back over 40 years now. Some of you were there, I know. The Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas in June of 1972. There was a great week-long Jesus Movement rally sponsored by the Campus Crusade for Christ. Kim and I were there. 85,000 high school and college students gathered in the Cotton Bowl every night. Listened to Billy Graham and Bill Bright and E.V. Hill preach to us. Cliff Barras, music leader for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, would lead us in singing our praise to God and speaking our praise to God and shouting our praise to God. And he'd have 80,000 plus that Cotton Bowl rocking and rolling, singing, "Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming." One night he had half that Cotton Bowl say, "Praise the Lord." And the other side answered back antiphonally, "Amen." And the first side, "Praise the Lord." Answer back, "Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen." I tell you, it was almost like going to heaven. Just praising the Lord. Someday we will confess with these lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you bowed the knee? Have you? Do you know him? Have you confessed with your lips that Jesus is my Lord, and do you faithfully follow him His name is a conquering name. He conquered my heart as a 10-year-old. And I've been walking with Jesus a long time. And I have no regrets. Would you let Him conquer your heart today? Number six and last. His name is a saving name. The angel said to Mary and Joseph, "You will name Him Jesus." Why Jesus? Because Jesus means Savior. "You will name Him Jesus because He will save His people from their sins." Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The way to salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not one of many ways by which a sinner can be reconciled to God. Jesus is the one and only way. And I know it's becoming increasingly politically incorrect in our culture to say that. But the Bible is not up for discussion, debate, or amendment. Jesus and Jesus alone is the one and only Savior. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Arnold Toynbee, great historian, who spent a lifetime studying human history and wrote multiple volumes of the story of civilization, said in one of his books, and I quote, and this is from a man who didn't even confess to know Christ. He said, and I quote, "At the final ordeal of death, few, even of these would-be Savior gods," here he's speaking of all the other religious expressions known to mankind, "few, even of these would-be Savior gods, have dared to put their title to the test by plunging into the icy river." And here he speaks of death. The icy river is death. "And now, as we stand and gaze with our eyes fixed on the further shore, a single figure arises from the flood and straightway fills the whole horizon." There is the Savior. Is He your Savior? Is He? He is mightier than any warrior. He is greater than any ruler. He is nobler than any king. He is wiser than any sage. He is better than any kingdom. He is bigger than any crown. He is lovelier than any name. But the question remains, is He your Savior? Do you know Him? Have you surrendered your will to Him? Have you repented of your sins, which are a grievous offense to a holy God? And have you sought the forgiving, merciful, cleansing power of His shed blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might be reconciled to Him? If not, why not? Why are you waiting? Do you understand the awesome price that Jesus paid for our eternal redemption? Look again in verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul said this about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't have to grasp it. He was God, equal with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Verse 7, but He made Himself nothing. Nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Can you imagine God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, taking on human flesh, identifying with us? Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of our eternal salvation. To suggest that there's some other way for sinners to be reconciled to God is the height of arrogance. But on that cross, the sinless Lamb of God took upon himself our sin, our guilt, our judgment, our shame, that we might be reconciled to God. And I know that in a congregation of this many people that most of us in this room have been reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus. But I'm persuaded in a congregation of this many people, there are many in this room who have yet to be reconciled to God. Your greatest need is a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song of surrender, commitment. It's going to be a pastor here and here and here and here. If you sense the Spirit of the Lord working in your life, exposing you as a guilty sinner in need of a Savior, flee to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He won't turn you away. Come to Jesus and let him forgive you and save you and make you his child this day. Will you come? We stand and sing together.